Hey there and welcome to Soul Church.
Our prayer is that this message encourages you wherever you may be in life.
You know, we've been hearing so many stories about what God is doing in people's lives, and we'd love to hear yours. So take a second and send your story to stories@soulchurch.com.
Thanks again for joining us today, and we hope that you enjoy the message. God bless.
We're really excited. We've got an incredible man of God. You know, I always think chapel is the one room that has shaped me the most as a leader in my personal walk with faith, because what you're going to hear is going to challenge you. We're looking at a series called Snakes and Ladders, all about what are some of the ladders in life, but also what are some of the snakes that kind of trip us up. And Pastor John's got an incredible word. This is fresh off the press. And he'll tell you about that, I'm sure. And so I'd love you to put your hands together, whether you're in the room or whether you're online watching, as we welcome Pastor John to come up and share a word.
Thank you, Sam. Thank you, everyone who's watching online, YouTube, Facebook, MySpace, whatever space you're watching on. Some of you are expecting a lot better looking speaker today called my wife, and unfortunately she's on next week, or should I say she got put up with me, so she decided yesterday that I was going to speak, and she's the boss, all right, so what she says goes, and so you got to put up with me this week. So Chantel will be on next week, pray that she will be on next week, all right. So great to see you all, great to have so many people watching online, a few of our staff, team, and church members in the room too. Why don't we start with some prayer? Let's pray for one another, let's pray for the challenges that we face right now as a country, as a world. Let's pray that we are going to somehow hear some good news this week. We've heard a lot of negative news over the last few days. Let's pray for some good news this week, shall we? Let's believe God for, let's have some hope. Let's have some great expectation. So much negativity, so much doom and gloom. Come on, let's believe for some good news. So Father, we thank you for your son Jesus, as we've just remembered his death and his resurrection on the cross. And Father, we thank you that this week that we have hope in Jesus. The world is offering very little hope right now, but we have an eternal hope in you. And so we pray for our government this week. We pray for the world leaders. We pray that you'd give them wisdom and understanding of the times that we're in. And I pray that you'd help them navigate us through this season. We thank you for our church, that our church is remaining strong and vigilant. We thank you that the church is rising up in this country and taking its rightful place. We thank you that the church cannot be silenced. It will not be silenced, Father God. And I thank you for all the various miracles that are taking place. We thank you for the foundation this week as they take hundreds, if not thousands, of meals into people's homes in our city and our county in desperate need. Bless them, Father God. Bless everyone watching online. Those who are sick, heal them. Those who are feeling hopeless, Father, bring courage in their soul in Jesus' name. Together, shout, or not shout, say it in the room, amen. Shout if you're at home, amen. There we go. All right, you guys can take your seats. Last week, we began a brand new series. Chapel, by the way, is a little bit different to church in the fact that it's a little bit more leadership focused. So we take principles from the Bible to apply to our everyday life to help us be better leaders and help us think different. So we started this new series last week, Snakes and Ladders. Give me a wave in the room. Give me a wave online if you've ever played Snakes and Ladders. It's a board game of 100 squares. You roll the dice. Good news is, if you land on a ladder, you'll go up. Bad news is, if you land on a snake, you'll go down. And life is a little bit like snakes and ladders, isn't it? We all make choices. Life rolls the dice, and sometimes it lands us on a square that we least expect. And each of the ladders and the snakes that we're going to talk about in this series are going to be moral lessons in our lives. We read about in Genesis chapter 3, we covered this last week, but God is having a conversation with the enemy, and it comes in the form of a snake. And snakes are bendy, they are slippery, they represent a loss of balance and direction. I am not a snake fan. I know people who keep them as pets at home, okay? That is very strange, okay? That is very strange, but I still love you, okay? But most of us keep a pair or a set of ladders. Who's got some ladders? Okay, most of us keep ladders. Ladders represent safety. Ladders represent direction. And God's plan for your life is for direction, for it to move forward, not for you to slip over or fall down. So in this series, we're going to look at some potential snakes and ladders that we can either climb up or slip over on. Now, we're going to deal with a snake today, okay? Snakes don't start out as full-blown creatures. Just like humans, they start off as eggs. And before snakes hatch, they are harmless. Now, this is critical to the message today. Before a snake hatches, it is harmless. Now, I found a scripture, a very obscure scripture, in the book of Isaiah, chapter 59. Verse 4. Now, I've read this before, but I've never, ever seen what I saw on this. The prophet Isaiah describes something which is very much applicable. This prophecy was written probably around 4,000 years ago, and it's exactly where we're at right now in 2020. It says this: the enemy hatches the eggs of snakes and spins a spider's web. Whoever eats their eggs will die. And when one is broken, a snake is hatched. When one is broken, a snake is hatched. Now, just bear with me for a second, okay? Don't switch off, okay? Each time the enemy comes to us with a negative thought, he is sowing snake eggs in your head. Okay, we can... Okay, so the enemy is constantly throwing negative thoughts into our minds. They're called eggs. Now, an egg on its own, a negative thought on its own, will not cause damage in your life. But if you allow that thought to hatch and become a snake in your life, it can cause potential damage. Once that snake breaks free in your life, you're in trouble. It says, when one is broken, a snake is hatched. I don't think any of us would ever dream of allowing a deadly snake loose in your house. If you know there was a deadly adder in your garden, you wouldn't pick it up and bring it into the house and say, you know, just do it what you will. But it's amazing how we allow the enemy to drop snake eggs in our thoughts. And if we do not remove those eggs from our heads, they will hatch. And if a snake is produced, let me tell you, it has the potential to wreak havoc. What the enemy's doing right now, through social media, through fear, is he is dropping snake eggs in people's heads. And what's happening now, those snake eggs, in the incubator of our minds, they are growing and they are splitting. And now we have snakes at loose all over our country. And what the enemy is doing is he is using these snake eggs to change our belief system. It's incredible how quickly people's belief systems can change. From a single planted egg thought, people's belief system. You know, it was Joseph Prince who said this 20 years ago. He said, wrong thinking leads to wrong believing. And wrong believing leads to wrong living. Now, turn that around. Right thinking leads to right believing. And right believing leads to right living. Isn't it amazing? One minute we're fully trusting in God, and the next minute people are doubting God's existence. I've had Christians tell me they're even doubting God exists. 6, 7, 8, 9 months ago, they were standing in church with their hands. What's the difference? It's the snake egg has hatched in their life. One minute we're going to change the world, next minute we can't get out of bed. One minute our confidence is soaring, next minute we're overcome by fear. What's the difference? We've allowed the eggs to hatch. So today I want to teach us how to remove eggs before they hatch. I've seen too many lives in the last 6 months messed up because the enemy has planted eggs in people's heads. And they have hatched, and now they are wreaking havoc in their lives. Your life, write this down, your life will move in the direction of your most dominant thoughts. This is critical. Your life will move in the direction of your most dominant thoughts. If your dominant thought is fear, you will live a fearful life. Those thoughts will eventually become actions, and then actions determine our lives. So just in a minute, I'm going to share three eggs the enemy tries to plant daily into our heads. But before we go there, it is much easier to remove a snake egg than a snake from your house. And so when the church eventually, when we're back up to whatever the new normal looks like, one of the challenges we have at church is we've actually got to remove snakes from people's lives because they are living in fear. The enemy has had, but let's pull back and go, okay, enough's enough. Let's make a decision. Let's recognize those eggs in our heads and let's remove them. I'm going to show you how to remove them. So when they come into your mind, you remove them before they hatch and become an egg. Okay, the message is titled Snake Eggs in Your Head. Is this helping anyone? I'm going to share three eggs that I daily battle with. Three eggs that I personally daily battle with. These are personal to me. Chantel's going to expand on one of them next week. But these are three that I personally deal with. I want you to go away. I'm going to give you some homework. I want you to think about some of the eggs that the enemy lays in your mind, in your head, that you've allowed to hatch. So three eggs. Number one is this. It's the egg of rejection. The egg of rejection. Now, I'm going to give you three statements connected to each point. The egg of rejection says, I'm not good enough. This is what the enemy wants to do. He wants to sow this thought into your head that you are not good enough. You're not good enough for your job. You're not good enough for the team. You're not good enough to come to church. You're not good enough. It's an egg the enemy daily wants to plant in your head. And every single person who's watching in the room, who's watching online, every single person, we deal with the egg of rejection. Someone didn't like your photo on social media. What started off as an egg is now a snake in your life. I want to encourage you all to watch a documentary on Netflix called The Social Dilemma. If you haven't watched it yet, I want to encourage you to watch it. It's intriguing. Into the damage that social media is doing to our lives, especially to our children. And it's time we wake up to what's happening in the younger generation. There's a clip of a young girl on there who, she's 13, 14 years old, and she puts up this picture of herself. And she's a beautiful young girl. And you know, she puts filters on it to make herself even more glamorous. And she puts it up and some of her friends say, you look amazing. Oh, you look so cute. That's a great photo. But one person says, your ears look bigger in this photo. And in that moment, her whole life goes into a different direction. She grows her hair over her ears. She wears scarves around her ears. And she is now defined not by the 100 comments of how beautiful she is. She is now defined by the one comment of rejection, because rejection always says you're not good enough. And her whole life in that moment is turned by one comment. That is the world that we live today. So this is a daily battle. And this is something that as a pastor, I struggle with. One of the most helpful and practical things you can do with this is develop a plan ahead of time, because rejection will come. It hits us all. And we cannot be passive. We cannot be passive around this subject. Too many people's lives are getting screwed up because the enemy has planted a seed, an egg, into people's mind, and it has hatched. And despite what many people will tell you, there is only one answer, one long-term answer to rejection, and his name is Jesus. And so here is the strategy to stop the egg of rejection hatching in your life. And it's to do this. Three questions you've got to ask yourself. Every time you feel rejected, every time you feel you're not good enough, every time you don't feel you're worthy, this is the three questions you've got to ask yourself. Number one is this. Do I live for an audience of many, or do I live for an audience of one? The question of how to handle rejection comes a lot easier when you ask this question. Who am I going to live my life for? Am I going to live my life trying to keep everyone else happy? I'm going to live my life trying to keep God happy. If the answer is people, you're setting yourself up for rejection. If you spend your whole life trying to please others and please people, you set yourself up for rejection. Why? Because none of us can please everybody. The secret of letting go of rejection, of getting that egg out of your head is this. I'm going to please God. He is my audience of one. Here's the good news. God sees us differently than people do. God looks at the heart. People look at the outside. God sees our potential, people see our problems. God sees us as his children, people see us as objects. God always accepts us, but people so often reject us. So if you're struggling with rejection, you've got to ask yourself the question, who am I trying to please? Am I living for an audience of one, or am I living for an audience of many? Ephesians 1:4 says, long ago, before he made us the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. Wow, without fault. Do you know how God sees you today? Without fault. I wonder if you see yourself without fault. Are you judging yourself based on what other people think of you or what you think of you? Are you judging yourself today on what God thinks of you? Because today you are accepted in God. Nobody else sees you the way God sees you. And so because God sees you that way, there is no need to prove your self-worth to anyone else. Let me tell you, this is so relaxing. My identity is in Christ. You know, often when I get up on a Monday, I often think of all the things I could have said different in my message. The worst thing is having to watch my message back to myself on a Sunday. I mean, because we were pre-recorded. So for 7 months, and to sit there, it's just painful. Sometimes I just go in the garden and switch off because I just can't watch myself. But I remember once I was in the garden having a meltdown and God said this. He said, John, I am so pleased with you. Why? Because I was living for the audience of many, not for the audience of one. If you want to remove the egg from your head, the first thing you've got to remember is this. I am living from an audience of one. Second question you ask when the enemy plants the egg of rejection is this. Do I accept rejection as failure? So it's easy to experience rejection and decide we're failures. Why don't we turn around this? Why don't we see our life as a sequence of rejections but not a sequence of failures? You know, rejection can actually be a real blessing in your life. Who's glad you did not marry your childhood sweetheart? Just be honest, I am. When you first fell in love, had your first kiss, you're thinking, oh, this is just for my forever. Oh, I'm so glad. Sorry if you're watching. Do you know what rejection can do? Rejection can actually give you your greatest direction. It pushes you towards your direction, your destiny. I was rejected in the Norfolk Constabulary. That was a blessing, by the way, for the Norfolk Constabulary more than me. I was rejected as an academy footballer at Norwich City. I was rejected. We've all been rejected. But here's the deal. If I'd have ended up a police officer or a footballer, okay, I wouldn't have met Chantel. I wouldn't have had Justice and Miracle. I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing. So sometimes out of our greatest rejection comes our greatest direction. And what you think is rejection, God is saying, no. I'm going to turn this around and I'm going to use it for your direction. Jesus was rejected for his whole life. He's rejected his first day in ministry. They tried to stone him to death. I don't know how your first day at work was. Oh, no one talked to me. Poor you. They threw stones at Jesus. Rejection did not define his life. And I've said this before, but rejection is a comma in your life, not a full stop. It is a comma. If you see it as failure, you see it as a full stop. But it's not as a comma. It's a break. It's the end of a chapter. God turns rejection into direction, and he turns direction into blessing. I look at Chantel's life, rejected as a young girl, abused as a beautiful little girl. Her greatest rejection is now her direction. She now has the privilege of going all around the world sharing her story. You see what God does? He takes your rejection and turns it into your direction. The egg of rejection. Second egg, which the enemy always tries to plant in my head daily, is the egg of offense. The egg of rejection says, no one accepts me. The egg of offense says, you owe me. The egg of offense, you owe me something. You owe me an apology. You owe me an explanation. You owe me, you owe me, you owe me. You ever met those people that they just owe me something? I think there's never been a time in my life where people are getting so offended. And if this is offending you, switch off. because I haven't even started. I've got to be careful. We're online. So as a church, we believe in life after death, okay? If you didn't realize that yet, you've been coming to the wrong church, all right? We believe in life after death. And the disciples were kind of querying Jesus, saying, hey, can you talk to us about life after death? Can you talk to us about when you're going to come back? And so this is what Jesus said. He said, hey, what I'm going to give you a few little just forward thoughts about when I'm going to come back. And this is what he says, Matthew 24, verse 3. Watch this. What will be the sign of your coming? So when is Jesus going to come back? A lot of people have been talking recently about, is this the end? Is this the time where Jesus is going to come back? You know, the world is in a bad place. And Jesus answered to them. He said this, take heed that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name, say I am the Christ, and will deceive many. But he says this, when you hear of wars and rumors of wars, see that you're not troubled. For all these things must come to pass before the end. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. Right now in our world, there are 40 active wars happening. 40 between countries around the world. 40 active wars. Wait for this. There will be famines and pestilences. When you look up the word pestilence, it means pandemics. Hello. So if you want to know what's going on, read this. There will be famine. By the way, this was written 2,000 years ago. It says, and there will be earthquakes in various places. The number of earthquakes has quadrupled in the last few years in our world. Hello. These are the beginning of sorrows. Then you'll be delivered up to tribulation, kill you, and you'll be hated by all nations for my name's sake. You'll be hated. Anyone realize that? Christians are now being arrested around the world for speaking the truth. But wait for this one. This is his final one. He says, but this will be the final one when you know the time is close. Many will be offended. So we go from earthquakes to wars to pandemics. And he says, by the way, the final one is everyone's just going to get offended at one another. Which is caused by what? Social media. Bible prophecy is coming to pass. Written over 2,000 years ago. Wars in the Middle East. Earthquakes on the rise. Christians being persecuted. And then a little curveball from Jesus. He says, and by the way, everyone's going to get offended. Why? Because the enemy is allowing the egg of offense to hatch in people's hearts. Everyone is offended. You owe me. So where does offense come from? Offense comes, write this down, when we become displeased. Whenever you become displeased, you can be offended. More damage is done with the aftermath of offense than the actually original offense. It's not offense which causes damage in people's lives, the offense. It is the aftermath of the offense. When you think about marriages and friendships, I know for Chantel and I, we've had a row before, very rarely, but sometimes, you know, she sparks up a little and she's Mexican, she's spicy. And if that offends you, I'm sorry. I'm deliberately going to try and offend you, by the way, just as I'm testing the message. But we've had an argument, and by the end of the day, we don't even remember what it started with. Why? Because the aftermath of offense is bigger than the offense. And here's what I've realized. Just because something offends you, write this down, this is critical. Just because something offends you, it's your choice whether you allow it to hurt you. Just because you will have an opportunity, the enemy is going to try and plant the egg of offense into your heart. But it is your choice whether you allow it to hatch and become a snake. Because if it becomes a snake, snakes hurt you. Eggs cannot hurt you, but snakes can hurt you. Offense is inevitable, but hurt is optional. Okay, this is going to hurt someone. Help someone, hopefully. So how do we remove the egg before it hatches into hurt? Okay, how do we move the egg? Got to remove it because it will hatch. Proverbs 19:11, it gives us the answer. It says, a person's wisdom yields patience. It is one's glory to overlook an offense. Three R's to removing three R's. I'm going to give you really quickly three R's to removing the egg of offense from your life. Number one is this. You've got to regain. Ask God to help you to regain perspective. You've got to regain perspective. You know, right now, some people are getting offended because people are wearing masks, and some people are getting offended because they're not wearing masks. Some people are getting offended because some people are too close. Some people are getting offended because they're too far. Everyone's getting offended. Everyone's getting offended. I went to the toilet the other day, walked in the bathroom, and this man just looked at me and goes, "Where's your mask?" Do you know what? The natural thing, I'm like, I'm just going to the toilet. You know, just. But then he was offended. I was offended that he was offended because he offended me by asking me. And we're all getting offended. But actually, we've got to gain some perspective. We've all just got to step back, take a deep breath, and go, it's all going to be all right. It's all going to be okay. Regain. We've got to regain some perspective. Right now, world, take a step back, chill out, and get some regaining of perspective. The second thing we've got to do to remove the egg before it hatches is we've got to relinquish. We've got to relinquish our right to get even. We trust God to fight our battle. Relinquish. If you're getting offended, the first thing you've got to do is regain perspective. The second thing you've got to do is, okay, I'm going to relinquish my right to get offended. We've got to trust God to fight our battles. And number three is this. You've got to respond. Great, is this the moment I get to give them a piece of my mind? No, this is not the moment. This is the moment where Jesus said in Luke 6:27, he says, do good to those who hate you. Bless those who offend you. Pray for those who mistreat you. You've got to regain, you've got to relinquish, and then you've got to respond. How do we respond? Well, you do what Jesus said. We do good. This is what I found. Doing good is often doing nothing. Sometimes it's just doing nothing. Sometimes it's just not speaking about people. Sometimes it's blessing them. You know how I can tell when I've completely forgiven someone? Is I don't pray, God, get justice on that person. I pray, God, bless them. You know when you've forgiven someone, when you're praying not for justice, but for blessing. That's when you know you've truly forgiven someone. Is this helping anyone, by the way? These are three eggs that have potential to wreak havoc in your life if they hatch into a snake. Okay, so this is my third one, and then we'll wrap this up. Alan's going to come and tickle the ivories. We've looked at the egg of rejection. We've looked at the egg of offense. But the third one is a big one for right now where we're at. It's the egg of doom and gloom. The egg of doom and gloom. What does the egg of doom and gloom say? The egg of doom and gloom says this. It says life will never get better. Life will never get better. How many times has the enemy dropped that thought in my mind over the last 8 months? Life will never get better. Anyone else can respond to that? This is just the way it is. We're going to be wearing masks forever. I can't hug my grandma again. I can't go to church with 400 people in the room. The football club's going to be, the stadium's going to be empty. This is just where we're at. You know what the enemy wants you to do? He wants you to believe it. And the problem is, the longer you believe it, the longer it'll continue to happen. The egg of doom and gloom. You know, I woke up to the news this morning that 1 million people tragically have died from COVID. Do you know what the guy who wrote the article, he said this, and there is no end in sight. And I felt God do something stir up inside of me. So that's not the language. That's the language of fear. There is an end in sight. For I know the thoughts I have towards you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace, not of evil. To give you a future and a hope. That's what the world says. The world says there's no end in sight, but God says there is an end in sight. God says you will come through your darkest hour. God says you will come out the other side. It's the egg of doom and gloom. If you allow that to hatch in your life, let me tell you, it will wreak havoc. You know, people are living in fear right now. We've got to get some perspective, guys. It's tragic that 1 million people have died with or from COVID, but I will say this. 3 million people this year already have died from dirty water around the world. We need some perspective again. 3 million people have tragically died, but because they're out of sight, they're out of mind. God so loves the world. I've allowed this egg in my head recently. This is just the way life is. Negative news is so almost impossible to avoid, but allowing that egg to hatch is avoidable. So how do we remove? I'm going to help us here. How do we remove the egg of doom and gloom? Has anyone else faced that egg? The doom and gloom egg? Three of us. I'm coming around yours if you don't have that egg in your head. This is how you remove it. You remove the egg of doom and gloom. Oh, by the way, if you don't want to remove it, keep living in it, because some people are actually enjoying it. Some people are actually enjoying doom and gloom. I'm not. I want to break out of it. We remove the egg by renewing our mind with God's word. This is the only way. You can't renew your mind on the BBC or Sky News. It will not renew your mind. This is our go-to verse. This is my go-to verse for renewing my mind. Whenever I feel doom and gloom, Psalm 23:6 says this: surely goodness and mercy. We know the Lord is my shepherd. But the verse 6 says this: surely goodness and mercy, Soul Church, will follow us all the days of our lives, and we will dwell in God's house forever and ever. If you have chosen God to be your shepherd in this season, here are three promises when the doom and gloom egg tries to hatch in your mind. Number one is this: God's goodness is watching over you. Goodness and mercy shall follow me. It doesn't say corona will follow you all the days of your life. It says God's goodness will follow you all the days of your life. There's never been a second of your life that God's forgotten about you. There's never been a second of your life that God's not been watching over you. God's goodness is aligning circumstances in your favor. God's goodness is with you today. Goodness, you'll follow me. Why don't you say that right now? Goodness, you'll follow me. Goodness is your stalker. Goodness wants to stalk you. It wants to follow you. It wants to follow you home from work. It wants to follow you into your room. It wants to follow you. Goodness, God's goodness. Don't have the BBC follow you to bed. Don't have all the doom and gloom on Twitter follow you to your sleep. God's goodness wants to follow you. What does this mean? Does it mean only good things will happen to you? Unfortunately not. Anyone ever gone through life and only good things happen to them? No. But this is our takeaway. This is what it means. Good will come out of bad circumstances. When it says God's goodness will follow me, what it means is not that good will continually happen to you. It means that somehow good will come from bad circumstances. God will bring good out of the bad. God will bring good out of corona. We were in London on Friday evening, and Chantel and I went out for dinner, and we actually walked past 10 Downing Street, and we stopped and we prayed for our government. We prayed for Boris and his family. And across the road, they had this thing. It was called, I learned this thing, they had a petition pen or a protest pen. And the government has set up a protest pen for people who want to protest against anything. So there's people in there protesting against all sorts of things, not just COVID. So as we walked past on the way back, we met this lady, and she's a protester. She's a professional protester. She protests for people. And we got talking, and she's saying, where you're from? We said, from Norwich. We're here for the night. And she was telling us a little bit about her story. She's probably in her mid-60s. And she said, it's really interesting. She wasn't a Christian, but she said this. She said, since corona, she said, I've met a lot of people, a lot of protesters. She says, but one thing is in common is they are waking up to spiritual things. they realize that there's more happening in our world than this. What is happening is there is a spiritual awakening in our world, and even people who are incredibly far from God, let me tell you, goodness, the goodness of God is going to come out of the bad. And I said it last Sunday, I believe when our doors finally open properly, let me tell you, people are going to run back because there's an awakening. People are spiritually coming alive. And Chantal, she does it in only the way she can. She took this lady's hand and she began to pray for her. I watched this lady literally melt spiritually. Because goodness, it's the goodness of God that will lead people to repentance. Notice we never sing, life, you're so good, you're so good. No, we sing, God, you're so good. God, you're so good. You're so good to me. Life is bad, but God is always good. God specializes in bringing good out of bad. Romans 8:28 says, we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Now, the challenge is this. When we're faced with doom and gloom, when the egg gets dropped in our mind, we cannot see the good in that moment. It's only just in the last few days, if not weeks, that I've started to see the good that is coming out of 2020. Because right now, it doesn't feel like there's any good. But God's goodness does not stop. God's goodness does not take a year off. God's goodness is not on holiday. God's goodness is following us. And when you understand that God's goodness is watching over you, here's what happens. Your fear levels drop. When you know that someone is protecting you, your fear levels stop. If you've got young children, you'll know sometimes they run into your bedroom late at night or in the middle of the night because they're scared. That maybe they've had the bad dream of the boogeyman. But when they jump into bed with daddy or mommy or both of you and you put your arm around them, here's what they realize. Their fear levels drop because they're protected. Right now, you're protected. I don't know what's going to happen in the next 6 to 12 months of this country, but what I do know is this, God's goodness is watching over you. God's goodness is watching over your finances. God's goodness is watching over your children. God's goodness is watching over every area of your life, and somehow good will come out of bad. So now, what are we worried about? If God's goodness is watching over us, come on, let's just let every fear right now, let's just let go of it. The greatest battle in our lives is not corona, it's allowing eggs to hatch. That's what we don't want to happen. Because if those eggs hatch into snakes, that's why people are losing their senses, they're losing themselves, because they've allowed the eggs to hatch. 2 Corinthians 10:5 says, take every thought into captivity. Paul is saying, every thought outside of God's will for your life, you've got to take it captive. You've got to get into God's word. Your Bible is your banquet in this season. You've got to feast on faith, not on fear. So come on, let's stand. I spoke way too long. Come on, we're going to pray that God gives us the courage to kick these eggs out of our heads. Okay, I'm going to be the first to respond, but who's going to admit that they've allowed some of those eggs into their thought life? Who's going to admit maybe that there's even some snakes running loose in your life? And the egg of rejection, the egg of offense, the egg of doom and gloom. Come on, why don't we remove them right now? Why don't we remove them? You can't remove them from a self-help book. It's only through the power of Jesus. The egg of rejection right now, if you're struggling with rejection, just lift up your hand. The egg of rejection says, I'm not good enough. And God says today, you are good enough. I accept you. Not because of what you've done, not because of the part, I accept you because of who you are. Father, right now, for everyone who is dealing with this egg of rejection, who says, I am not good enough, I pray that they would understand today that they are accepted by God. Not through works, but through grace. Lord, I pray today that they would get a fresh revelation of the Father's love towards them. I pray that they would stop striving and trying to work to get your attention, but receive your love receive your acceptance through your son, Jesus. The egg of offense says, you owe me. You owe me more, you owe me money, you owe me gratitude, you owe me, you owe me, you owe me. If you allow that egg to hatch in your life, you live very miserable. You live eventually with anger. But if you're saying today, I'm going to let go of you owe me. Maybe someone does owe you something. Maybe someone did let you down. And maybe someone did say something or did offend you or didn't like it on social media. Or said, there's so much, the egg of offense. If you're saying today, I'm going to remove that egg from my head. I'm going to let it go. Just lift a hand right now. I'm going to pray. Father, right now, maybe you're sitting at home. Maybe you're in your living room, in the office right now. I'm going to pray right now that you would, God would give you the strength to let go of the egg of offense. Thank you, Lord. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who offend you. Praise for those who mistreat you. Father, I pray right now for everyone who is struggling with the egg of offense. We've allowed it into our heads and it's hatched. It's wreaking havoc. Father, I pray for strength and courage right now that we would let go, we would forgive, we would move forward of our lives. Father, I pray, Father, today for courage for people to keep moving forward. And Father, right now, I come against the egg of doom and gloom in people's lives. Come on, if you're struggling, my hand's up on this one as well, doom and gloom. Come on, God wants to help you with this one. Doom and gloom says life will never get better, but God says his goodness and his mercy will follow you. Come on, right now. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in God's house forever and ever. God's goodness is watching over me. I want you to write that on the fridge. I want you to write that, put it on your picture frame. Write it, God's goodness is watching over me. Because when you know that God's goodness is watching over you, your fear levels are going to go down. I pray for fear right now to drop in people's hearts. I pray for fear to go, Father. I pray right now that you give people strength to keep moving forward. I pray that we would disconnect from doom and gloom media, social media, Father God. We would hang in on your word in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Thank you, Lord. I pray you receive that word today, and I want to encourage you, don't allow those eggs to hatch in your life. When those thoughts come, remove them as soon as they come in, because God wants you to walk and live in freedom. God wants you to climb the ladder of life, not fall down the snake of life.
Thanks again for tuning in. And if you said the salvation prayer today, we'd love for you to email connecttofaith@soulchurch.com so we can talk to you a little bit more about this incredible decision that you've just made.
Yeah, you know, and if at any point in the service you felt moved to give towards any of our local or global initiatives, then head to soulchurch.com and click on the giving at the top of the page.
Thanks again for joining us today, and we hope to see you again soon. God bless.